I'm Neil Fagan, and you're listening to a rather different start to The Scribble Show. So sit back, relax, and chill out. It's a beautiful evening, it's June, summer's here, and I thought what a way to start the programme off. And I'm sat here in my garden again, so we're on an outside broadcast. Unfortunately tonight you've just got me, but that was a piece of music written by a very good friend of ours, Alan Johnson. It's called Those Were the Days. Now, he wrote it and he performed it. And I was speaking to Alan earlier this week, and he's suffering quite badly after his operation, his bypass operation. I thought, what a nice way to start the show. A beautiful piece of music that is written and performed, and a great way to get into the Scribble Show this week. So, on the programme this week is our usual cornucopia of poetry for all you poetry lovers out there. And we're going to kick it off with a piece by Michael R. Justice called The Rain Falls. Michael's voiced it over. It's by Lee Van Leer. And it's a lovely piece, this, to go with what is going to be a very relaxed and laid-back evening. Have a listen to this.
I come to this moment of return without a pale breath to feed me, without warning, without the thread that got me here. I'm picking up a thousand instances where I dropped time on the floor, astonished by what it said, that it dared to speak to me, that I dared to listen. And altogether, I am helpless in the art of living. I thought I knew the way things ought to be, as though what in them were preserved, unbroken, undistorted, even though I touched them and hurt them with my cares. Where is my trust? My trust. Where are the ones who loved me, held me up? Geese crying in the morning, as though they too were lost. Yet their light has not yet begun to fail. They know their way. I do not know mine. This is the fate of those who go into the unknown. The rain falls.
As I said, what a beautiful way to start the programme off. A great piece of music, first of all by Alan Johnson, and then a wonderful recital by Michael R. Justice of The Rain Falls by Lee Van Leer. Now this week, unfortunately, Steve and Jeff are not with us. They're busy doing other things. And I thought, you know what, it's a beautiful summer's evening. I'll pull the recording studio outside and I'd record this week's programme. So it's going to be a great show. Sit back, you can listen to the birds in the background as we go through the next hour of what can only be described as really superb poetry. So the next up is a piece by somebody called Lugissimo. It's from Town to Clown. Get your ears around this one. Have a listen to it.
Natural generosity with no controversy. From now on, in my heart you will be. Giving more to receive less is your duty. Inspire your audience by simplicity and honesty. Dream reality, for the reality becomes the dream. There is always a chance for a soul to be redeemed. Reality becomes the dream. There is always a chance for a soul to be redeemed. There is always a chance for a soul to be redeemed.
There you go, a different type of poetry, but nevertheless poetry, and that's part of the Poet Stream. Every week we support Poet Stream because they've got some great poets out there and the great supporters of the Scribble Show. Next up is a lady by the name of Princess Shelder, and she's produced a piece called How Will We Live Out Our Dash? Have a listen to this one, see what you think to this. Another member of the Poet Stream crew.
Hello, Princess Shelder here. Child of the King of Israel and Heaven. Today I want to share another one of my poems. This is the introduction to How Will We Live Out Our Dash. On every tombstone, there's the date the person was born, there's a dash, and the date the person died. The dash is more significant than the dates, because the dash represents the person's life. Everything the person did, everything the person was within that dash. Whether the person made the best of their life or they wasted their life, it's all done in that dash. Sometimes the year that the dash was short, sometimes the year that the dash was long, but their life was lived in that dash. How will we live our dash? This poem was inspired by a video I saw called The Dash. The guy in the video was born 1990 and died 2013. His dash was only 23 years long. And this poem is called, How Will We Live Out Our Dash? First, we are babies. We can't do much and we don't know much. We have to depend on adults. They may have or they may not have a gentle touch. Then we learn to crawl, then step, fall, we learn to walk. Next, we speak gibberish, and by copying what we hear, we learn to talk. Then comes the time to go to school and start our education. With every passing day, we look forward to the next age with anticipation. Then we get through elementary school and make it to middle school, where we're trying to fit in and we want to be popular and cool. Then we enter high school and we start thinking about what in life we will be. But sometimes the road ahead may seem very distant and hard for us to see. There are many and different relationships. Some are good and some are bad. And there are times when life is wonderful and there are times when it's very sad. We should live every day like it's the last. We don't know when our time is up. We need to see life optimistically as a full cup, not pessimistically as a half full cup. Every moment should be savored, love should be given freely, and should be sincere. We should try to make a difference in life while we are here. We should live a life that at the end of it, it meant something. And our relationship with God should mean more than anything. Life starts with a birth date, there's a dash in the middle, and a death date. We should surrender our life to God and live for Him before it's too late. How will we live out our dash? Be blessed.
So there you go. How will you live out your dash? Well, I'll tell you how I'm going to live out my dash. I'm sat in the back garden. There's about 7.5 acres of wild woodland at the back of me. I can hear the birds singing in the trees. And if ever there was a solitary tale of how you should live your life, this is it. You should live your life for the minute, live your life in the moment, and just sit there, take in the view, and listen to the sound of the birds. Okay, now moving along slowly but surely, because as you can tell, we're in a bit of a laid-back mood tonight. But for the last time ever, oh no, that's the wrong thing to say. The last time for a while, I'm going to play the jingle for The World Comes to You, because Alan, due to ill health and recovery now, he's going to get better, but due to his recovery period, has actually pulled out of the broadcast of The World Comes to You. But we're still going to cover the guys on Poetry in Motion, and I'm going to play this jingle for the last time, because next week what we'll do is we'll just put a spot in for the Poetry in Motion team. So we don't forget. Have a listen to the jingle.
Well, hello. The World Comes to You here on Saturdays at noon. That's GMT.
Somebody mentioned tea.
Well, GMT is the world time zone.
Oh.
So people tuning in from Japan or somewhere else.
I live around the corner.
12 o'clock, Saturday, the 9th of April. The World Comes to You.
Oh, I can't have all them coming here.
Well, unfortunately, because Alan's not doing any more, he's put Jeff out of a job, so Jeff's had to go and get another job today, hence the reason why he's not here with us tonight. Anyway, the first one up on the guys from Poetry in Motion is Susan Worrell. And what she tried to do last week was produce this one for last week's programme, which is called Downs. It's about Down syndrome. She didn't have time to do it. She sent me a different one, which we broadcast. But this week, we're going to broadcast the one that she originally was going to send, which is Downs by Susan Worrell. And she's going to do it in her style, which is really good. So have a listen to this one.
Down Syndrome by Susan Worrell. As you look into my eyes, what do you see? A child with a difference. Or do you see me? Do your tears start to fall? Does your heart start to break? Do you grieve for the steps I may never take? or when you look at my face and I start to smile? Do you feel so much love that your heart swells with pride? Do you ignore my syndrome, vow that I'll walk, do all you can to teach me to talk? My heart may be weak, my mind may be slow, but the love deep inside me no one can ignore. Teach me, I'll learn, hold me, I'll hug, trust me, I'll love, your heartstrings I'll tug. As you look into my eyes, what do you see? A child with a difference, or do you see me? A child full of love, willing to give, with the most precious smile and a full life to live.
There you go. How apt is that? You've got to look past the disability. You've got to look at people and look at the good points, take them for what they are, and really look back, look past their disabilities. And it's so important that we all do that. So great piece that, Susan. Thank you very much for sending it in. We eventually got it broadcast in your style, which is really good. Now we're going to move on to Karen King and have a listen to this one, because this is What Is Reality. And I picked this up while I was looking through the submission page, and I thought this would be really good for the programme. So have a listen to it.
What is reality? You may feel old, but your soul shines through. To me, it will always be sparkling and new. Don't forget to rest and have a good sleep. Now is not the time to collapse and weep. Forget the shadows of the past. Remember the good times and make them last. You'll always have adventures at night. As dragons and demons, you fight. Sometimes you'll visit other lives, other days, where you reside in peace and the pain goes away. You'll not always have to look over your shoulder, as time has shrunk and you get older. Remember, things are not always as they seem. What is reality and what is the dream? Karen King, copyright 27th of May 2016. Thank you.
Nice one, Karen. Love that one. And the reason I love that one is I was watching a programme last night, I don't know if you caught it, about growing old and about how great it is and how more dexterous you get as you get older in your mind and all this. You've become quite wise because you've experienced a lot more things. And I thought, as an old geezer, I'm going to play that, because what is reality? It's just the way you look at it. It's just the way you look at life. And we've all got to be quite positive about the way we actually look at life and what life has to offer us. And if we all did that, and we all sat back and thought, you know what, let's live in the moment, maybe things will be a whole lot better. As you can see, I don't know if you can pick this up, but there's certainly lots of birdsong going on this evening. It's a really beautiful setting, and what a beautiful evening. Now, moving on to, probably one of my favourite authors, Ryan Woods, who's produced a great novel, which I'm waiting for it to come off the production line so that I can get my hands on it. I've read a few of the chapters. But he also wrote a poem called He Who Pays the Piper. And Ryan very kindly has recorded this for us. And I think it's really worth everybody having a listen to. So get a load of this one.
This is a piece that I created for Poem Cabillion number 14, using words chosen by yours truly. It's for Diabolical and Franchise. This is entitled He Who Pays the Piper, and I hope you enjoy it. In a small sleepy town, much like any other, on a pretty ordinary night, under the cover of darkness, a black stretched limo, as dark as obsidian, with blacked out windows to keep everything hidden from those who might pry, like a wave from the ocean rolled silently by. With headlights pale and milky like cataract eyes, and an engine that purred like a kitten with delusions of grandeur, knowing that beneath the hood 666 horses waited to be unleashed, and each one a stallion, a thoroughbred stud. Ready to lay waste to the blacktop as dawn lays waste in the night, it glided like a phantom till it reached its spot, and pulled up to the curb outside a vacant real estate lot, at the far end of town where urbanisation gave way to brush, and nature's natter gave way to an unholy hush. Not the sound of a cicada was to be heard, nor a nocturnal hoot, just a faint, haunting sound of the Pied Piper's flute. For 12 days and 12 nights, the Emporium Diabolique, like a revenant, came slowly to life, and on day 13, twixt dusk and dawn, an open-for-business sign appeared on the lawn. Nobody knew the proprietor's name, nor had they seen him. No one could lay claim to knowing anything of his past, his history, his creed, his race or his caste. He was a riddle wrapped in a mystery, inside an enigma. Already his presence, or lack of it, had caused quite a stigma amongst the townsfolk, whose tongues were thoroughly wagging, whilst an infernal heat had left everyone gagging for respite from the mundanity of their lives, their jobs, their commitments, their lovers, their wives. The town's children, though, were different. They bore no animosity. They did nary give a thought to what happened to the cat that entertained curiosity. So on the first day of business, they lined up at the door with pocket money to spend and parents' warnings to ignore. Dollars to donuts, there would be a steady stream of curious and curiouser children, a Pied Piper's dream. So with a click and a clack from somewhere within, the door creaked open and let the first of them in. "Hello," one of them called. "Is there anyone there?" His dry lips said nervously, failing to see the shadowy figure sat in a chair in the corner, rubbing his hands together, the skin of his palms rasping like sandpaper against leather. "Come in, come in," the figure called from the gloom, inviting each one of them into their doom. "What do you sell, mister?" another inquired.
"I sell mischief and merriment. I sell doodads for dollars. I have whatever it is that your little heart desires. For a brace of George Washington's, I'll sell you endless wonder."
And those words carried with them the promise of thunder.
"Spit and let's shake in it. Let's make us a deal. I'm a man of my word. I cannot reveal all the wonders awaiting you. The devilry, the fun."
So shaking it they did, and the deal was done. In a booming voice he announced,
"Roll up, roll up. There's nothing to fear."
But beneath his breast whispered,
"Abandon all hope, ye who enter here."
As he led them towards a gnarly old doorway in back of the store, from behind which the giggles of children could be heard, and hushed conversations as if none of them dared raise a voice above more than a whisper.
"Join us, join us, come hither,"
they pleaded as the fresh ones drew near, their voices tinged with a faint flavour of fear and anticipation.
"Come over to the dark side, it's much more fun there. We have balloons that all float and cookies to share."
And so with a promise of goodies, giggles and mirth, they opened a door, stepped on through, and disappeared off the face of the earth. So day upon day the hours came but never went, their dollars, their futures, their tomorrows all spent in the blink of a juvenile eye. The only times person who felt no need to cry was the old man who lived just across the way, who once could wake up to the cold light of day with a smile on his face and a spring in his step, for a deal that had been struck and a promise that had been kept. No longer need he curse the breaking of dawn, or have to shout from his window, "Get off my lawn!" Because in a drawer, in a dresser that stood by his bed, lay a diabolical contract, the words written in red, in a substance that could have been blood, and confirmed an agreement both parties understood. The souls of the children was a price they'd agreed, the recompense, peace and quiet.
"That's what we old people need,"
he had said as he'd scribbled his name and convinced himself it was the parents to blame for not controlling their obnoxious offspring and thus forced him to do such a terrible thing. You may wonder why the townsfolk just let all this slide. Well, you see, each and every one of them had secrets to hide, for beneath the crust of this quaint little township was a filling so vile as to make a holy man take more than a sip of sacramental wine. So with tight-lipped resolve, they accepted their fate, forgot their children and buried their hates in a place deep inside. Not one of them mourned, not one of them cried. And so life continued with a vague semblance of normality, and people busied themselves with the formality of living each day as it came, whilst knowing that things would never again be the same. The Emporium Diabolique sat in its place on a hill, looking down and watching passively upon a town it had claimed as its own, no one realizing that franchise had grown. For in the next town along, outside a vacant real estate lot, a black stretched limo pulled up to a spot at the side of the curb beneath the light of the moon, and the new store in that town will be opening soon, selling doodads for dollars, a Yowan's delight. 12 days passed, along with 12 nights, and on the 13th day, beneath the light of the moon, a sign appeared stating, "All children welcome, we have plenty of room." And just across the way, an old man watched, knowing all too well that he'd struck a devil of a deal and a kickback was hell. But peace and quiet will be his, and that real soon, because he who pays a piper calls a tune.
Absolutely brilliant. Doodads for dollars. Well, I'm telling you this, I'm not good on making prophecies. I don't make a lot of them, but one day, I'm going to say on this programme, I remember him when he had holes in his hankies. A quaint old northern expression near Manchester. It means I remember him when he had nothing, and now he's a famous author, because one day, mark my words, this guy's going to make it to the top. Absolutely brilliant. Thanks very much for sending that in, Ryan. Right, Heather Alley, another one of our contributors to the programme. She always produces something a little bit different, so have a look at this. Listen to this one. You can't have a look at it because you can't see it, but get your ears around it. This is called Honest Smelting.
Honest Smelting by Heather Alley. I have secrets no one wants to hear. What do you do with them? Pokey and ill-shaped for travel, they don't fit in my pockets anymore. Falling out, spilling beans and milk. I have a mask I wear every day. A skin suit designed to glamour the eyes of onlookers, hiding tender bits and broken parts, preventing pity parties, rebellions, and surrender. I have a show I perform every day. I am a flying trapeze artist performing feats of painless accomplishment, meeting daily needs of entitled patrons, who complain about the service, tell me to smile. It makes me pretty. Grimaces rewarded advice or displeasure. I am this human that wakes. I stand here full of impossible dreams, in front of a mirror, raw radiance beaming bright. I feel each minute pass through me, knowing they are numbered, asking myself, was it worth it? What does it all mean? What do I need to learn here? Why? Am I me? I am origami, folded pretend, honest, temporary, simple. Living artwork in the age of decline, encoded mortality with a mission to awaken the lead into gold.
So, do you have secrets that nobody wants to listen to? Well, send them on a postcard to me, Neil Fagan, at The Scribble Show, and we'll broadcast them to everyone. Nice piece of work that by Heather Alley, Honest Smelting. If you want to listen to more of her work, you just go over to SoundCloud, put in Heather Alley, and pull up. She's got lots of work there. Have a listen to it. It's always worth it. Now, normally, we're moving on to the Poem Cubely section. And I'm going to play the intro to Poem Cubely so you know what it's about. But it's a little bit embarrassing this week because I've always said that I never feel quite worthy of being in the Poem Cubely group. And Steve always kind of bull me up and say, hey, come on, you're just different. Everybody's different. Well, this week they've actually chosen one of my pieces of prose, and Alex Maxwell's very kindly recorded it for me. And you know what? It sounded much better coming from him than it did from me. Anyway, let's play the intro and then we'll go straight into the poetry.
12 poems. 2 words. An explosion of mind-bending, heart-rending, scaring, sharing, dream-making, tear-jerking poetry of epic proportions. That is Kubli.
Love can be sweet, gentle, tender, sensual. It can sweep you along on a tide of potential. That touch, that feel, an exceptional unreal. It binds you, enchants you, makes your mind real. Remember the days as you walked hand in hand along a shoreline, emerald seas, golden sands. Sat in a cafe, sharing a donut, chatting and laughing, not wanting to shut up. The world looked brighter, fresher, lighter. Conversation never dull, you always excite her. You listen intently, never distracted, always reactive. The voice of a goddess, she looks so attractive. The years pass by, a family is started. Together, forever, no need to be parted. Children become teenagers, and then on to grown-ups. There have been good times, tough times, and occasional bust-ups. The apocalypse arrives when your loved one dies. You lie in the bed, tears welling up in your eyes. You would sell your soul to feel her touch, to listen to her voice. Tell her you love her so much. There's a hole in your body, in your heart, in your mind. It cannot be repaired by surgery or time. It hurts and it burns. You grieve for your loss. Hold her image in your mind. Feel alone, feeling lost.
You know, what's really strange is I voice over lots of different poetry for lots of different people every week on the Scribble Show. And I always wonder how it makes them feel listening to somebody else read their pieces of work. And this week I actually know what that feels like. And to be honest, I think Alex did a far better job of it than I would ever do. So thank you very much, Alex, for doing that. I feel a little bit embarrassed about having one of my poems as the Kubli poem. But you did a great job of reading it. Really do appreciate it. Thank you very much. And I wrote that because you spend a lot of time with your partner or your wife or your girlfriend, and you become very close, and it becomes one of those relationships where you rely on each other all the time. And if they're not there, you feel as though you've lost an arm or there's something missing in your life. And I try to imagine what it must feel like when your wife or your partner passes away and you're left on your own. It would be absolutely devastating. So that's why I put it together. Anyway, thank you very much, Alex, for reading that for me. I really do appreciate it. Now, moving on, we've got Melodies of a Golden Moon, Thoughts of a Sinner. Have a listen to this one.
Sometimes I wonder about the existence of love. Is it a dying wish, a whispered fairy tale, or just a dream leaked warm that exists in the ink of a humble poet's pen? Is there that place, somewhere in the endless sky, where broken hearts are mended and escape together gently as they fly? I wonder why, as yet another tear falls silently from a humble poet's eye. Take me there, show me the way, just beyond the crest of a golden moon. Hold me in the breast of a lover's tune, where we can love our lives away. The love cynic preaches from nigh of the differences of these times shared, both high and low. Two opposing instances of intimacy defined, extremes of the swinging pendulum as it sways to and fro, from the frost of the winter's snow to the warmth of the summer's glow. Tell me all the secrets of your heart, for I want to know them so. There shall be no arrogance within me when I cast my gaze upon the maze of love's grand design. For I realize that these are not times of constant smiles, for in truth our union is defined by its trials. The liberation of our tribulations keeps the root of us seeking the deeper soil. Does your ink boil like the blood in thy veins? Can you truly see me upon thy mantle in the ledger of but a single name? My song too has been of sorrow, and the yearning that burns, heard only by the precious one that feels me, that follows and finds me, blessed in a harmony spun in the web of a sanctioned bloom. She who comes and composes the melody of us, but have simply recited it unrequited, can we then be united full by the breath of a single touch? Does he love too much? Or find that the heart offered be but a temptation of a temptress revealed? And thus he could never love enough, as he drifts, lost forevermore at sea, craving still for the blossoming of us in the waiting womb of a golden moon. There is no end to the rose of the wanting. There is no pause to the rhythmic beat of the heart. There is no false trait in the gait of those who trot hot in the valleys of the mating soul. I lost my way so long ago on my quest of this timeless fate, as I fell upon bended knee in prayer to be alleviated at last from my woes' cumbersome weight. You ask of me to take you there, then place your hand in mine, and let us explore this world of wonder as one, severed from the shackles of this lonely ache. Let this be our last great adventure on the journey of the searching too, for I still believe it is there, somewhere, as I wax upon the final glimmer I still possess of my fading hope. For I am still tethered in my grip to that rope that connects me to my proclamation of success. Pull me from the fog of uncertainty and lay your head soft upon my chest. With one faithful step we can be lifted, not by the whip of the currents of air, but by that feeling found that binds us when I'm holding you close and near. Reveal to me what you have hidden inside. Come with me on this tender ride. Let me plant my kiss upon your sweet lips until we both begin to bend bare and in swoon. Meet me at the feet of love's waiting destiny on the other side of a golden moon.
Day today's been right. Here we go. Rhyme Sunny, My CV of Sin, a new one on the program. Not heard him before. Have a listen to this.
Lord, it's been a while. My face looks like the residential quarters for smile, but deep within me is bitterness. I'll become bitter than the bile, because the things I used to preach against have become my style. I just got married to sin. Sin just walked me down the aisle. See, I stand before thee with this sinful file. I'm ready for a trial, and I wish this interaction was Ghana's election petition and the proceedings was on television so people can see the real me. Neglected you, forgetting that you see better than any CCTV. I am so, so sorry. Now, the devil has given me a new CV, a new resume, consuming me. Rhyme Sunny, age 27, a hardworking, serious Christian whose vision is to be in heaven. But I have found in sin a safe haven. From 2004 to 2007, I had my master's degree in masturbation technology, and since then prayer has become my allergy. And anytime I do it, I see my soul reciting an elegy. I can feel the will of my soul, but my body make weak. I masturbate 2 to 4 times a week, making my prospects of being in heaven very bleak. The Bible clearly states that we should seek you first, but sincerely speaking, Lord, you are my last remedy. In church, I see all salvation sermons as a night of 1,000 laughs, total comedy. See, if richness was being determined by goodness, then indeed I am a needy. I have sinned against heaven and earth, my soul and body. I know I need an autopsy, but the question is, am I even ready? See, Lord, in womanizing and fornication, I have an advanced diploma, and I enjoy the drama, the trauma I put a lot of women through, including my best friend's mama. see all females as nails, and you know how we do as carpenters. We hammer from Akosua to Efia to Ya to Ama. So why we name Lord? Why am your Berima and our Daruma? Where's yes, me come? Ties is swag, your mommy see heavy. Yokohama, in Kwasia Seda Medidi, a mommy Nika Preminidama. I come in Kaine McKenton, local farmer. Lord, I'm melting inside like a molten magma. Touch my heart, for Sakama Kuma, Miss John Yamia Guama, who now born a friend in our born a puma. Sammy, every fit that is a citrama, but near mommy Marco Maki, and it's itchy like an eczema. For drugs and alcohol, I only did a short course. My friend Selike was my boss. He was the tutor to this course. Wherever you are, shame on you, bros. You told me that drugs will open my mind, but they did the opposite. Instead of me chasing my dreams, I took a seat. Became lazy, like I had no feet. I grew lean, I couldn't eat. I watched life pass by me, I couldn't take the heat. I ended up on the streets, started doing cocaine, crack and heroin. These substances tossed me up and down like a referee tossing the coin. I worked with Selicam & Co. for 2 years, the worst company I've ever joined. We imported and exported coke. And when you hear coke, please, I'm not talking about Coca-Cola. Look, cocaine is destroying lives, I know, and it's not a joke. During the winter, we learned that many people do smoke. That was our main cocoa season, when my people experienced freezing. For me, my motive wasn't even money. Funny, right? Destroying of lives was my reason. See, I tried exporting drugs to the UK with my cousin. On that assignment, I was arrested and cast into prison. 5 years in prison, I was jailed. But Lord, people thought that in prison, my freedom would be curtailed. So the experiences would cause a change in my life, and your name will continue to prevail, and you will be hailed. But I'm sorry to say that, Lord, you failed. I knew it was for my sins. That was why on the cross, you were nailed. The wasting has engulfed me. Even if I lose sight of it, I will use the braille. It was in prison I learned how one could close his eyes to tell lies to the grand lies and make lies seem nice. I am a first class sinner, I know, but I need a job in your kingdom, any job, because having a place in your kingdom is where I can truly call myself a winner. I am a first class sinner, I know, but I need a job in your kingdom, any job, because having a place in your kingdom is where I can call myself a true winner. I am a first class sinner. I know. I know. I know.
Well, there you go. That's the question. Are you a first class sinner? I think we've all got a bit of that in us. Nice one, that, from Rhyme Sonny. A little bit different, and we're going to go a little bit different again now, by a gentleman by the name, goes by the name of My Dystopia. It's his stage name, his nom de plume, and this piece is called Sobriety. It's quite an interesting piece, this. It's only first time on the programme, so have a listen and support him as well.
Sobriety by My Dystopia. Desperation drives me to distraction. I crave the sweet embrace that caresses me to sleep. My wonderland, my sweet utopia, lost at sea and out of reach. Misery arrives as happiness abandons and my frustrations get better. I subside. Slip away, fall back into myself, disassociate, alleviate the ache. For nobody can save me from the pain inside my brain, my morbid hate, the despair I face. Throughout the long hours, dusk till dawn, dawn through dusk, all I do is wait. Crawling around in my affliction, this saturated pit of morbid addiction. Crying out to the moon each night, begging for my oblivion. Silver beams of light, deliverance. I hold the body still, without choice, until nothing but the hollow void enters my soul and I am free. beyond hope. You'll be okay is what they say, and I know inside my soul, but that does nothing to fill the vacant hole where my heart should be. When my soul expires, the light dims a little more each time I slide into the obscure back rooms of my mind where the sky is always falling in. Clouds black and bold, but the ground refuses to open up and swallow me whole. I am not whole. Misery owns my soul. I cannot complete me. I only defeat me.
There you go, quite a deep piece by My Dystopia Sobriety. Great piece. Thought it was worth including on the programme so you could listen to it. Now, next up is The Crab by Polly Varghese. And we've been looking to play this for quite a while. And Ryan Woods very kindly has voiced over, done the reading on this and done the voiceover on it. So here you go, Polly. We've been saying we're going to play it for a while. Here it comes.
This is a piece written by Polly Varghese and translated by Deepa Chandran Rao. This is entitled The Crab. The melody breaks in between. Poems turn lamentless. Heartbeats upbraid. Feet are scared of sun granules. Cuddles turn dispassionate. Lately, I am turning to an amnesia. I am in the clutches of a crab as an uninvited famine. A creature that walks with piercing nailed claws over my premature dreams. Before it swallows, I need to swim across, augment, to the terminal corner of the world. When its scabrous, churlish fingers force open its scorched doors in my arid stomach, I become an unfleshly nakedness in some silent night tide. Ballads in so far as universe, a science solely for you, a fame within a thick jacket, a sea as old as Genesis, you. The song is the poison goblet ready to be vended in taverns. But did the servant know that you quenched your own hunger? You are above the scintillator of breath. Maladies not too big being accused of you. This crab is a migrant, diversely though. Seed germinates and trees merge with soil with its shadow. Every moment the voices dug out by sandals follow. Breath cells that exude the phlegm of obsession vociferate thus. Who jailed me? Who sentenced me? What was the offence? When was I betrayed? Without a charge sheet, even without a prey, with no one to endorse, without a legal text for namesake, who purveyed the executioner? Though the real convict is the shadow that arranged the gallows in the unknown prison, the historical thoughts simmer another question. How many more crabs left in this world, never tired of leeching, ever breeding and multiplying like a landslide that embrace one after another? How many?
Well, I'll tell you something, that was worth waiting for. The Crab by Polly Varghese, read by Ryan Woods. Brilliant piece, that. Really enjoyed that. Wonderful bit of reading and a great piece of poetry. So thanks very much for doing that. So we're getting very close to the end of the programme. We've got a couple to go now. I can't believe nearly an hour's gone by. I'm sure you'll be glad that nearly an hour's gone by listening to my voice. But anyway, here we go with Michael R. Justice, The Escape Gorilla by David Wagner.
When he walked out in the park that early evening, just before closing time, he didn't take the nearest blonde in one arm and climb a tree to wait for camera and crews. He didn't savage anyone in uniform, upend cars, or beat his chest to scream. And nobody screamed when they found him hiding behind the holly hedge by the zoo office, where he waited for someone to take him by the hand and walk with him around two corners and along a pathway through the one door that wasn't supposed to be open, and back to the oblong place with the hard sky, where all of his unbreakable toys were waiting to be broken. With the wall he could see through, but not as far as the place he almost remembered, which was too far away to be anywhere.
You know, that really resonated with me, because this week, obviously, we've seen in the news about the gorilla that was shot because a young kid climbed into the enclosure. And you've got to wonder, you know, why are we keeping all these animals in captivity? So, really great piece. I've seen the programs that have been produced on gorillas over in Rwanda. And you see them, and they've got quite a big social group. Yeah, we keep them penned in, we keep them locked up. But these animals are intelligent animals at the end of the day. So, beautiful piece that by David Wagner, and great reading by Michael R. Justice. So, thanks very much for that. Now, I picked up on another guy that's not been on the programme before, Mike Bell. And he's produced a piece called 3000. It's our last piece this evening. So, have a listen to this. Not very long. Runs for about 34, 40 seconds. But really worth a listen.
3000. 3,000 children, some missing, wishing to be schooled, but still waiting, cold camped in shallow-rooted fields, no siblings, those long lost, arm locked into fear. No formal lessons for any of them, no sit-script classmates for these other faces, hunger forever, their learning, juvenile lives marked, tested, almost buried in this foreign field.
Well, you know, like the other one had a bit of resonance, that's easy for me to say, must put my teeth back in. As the other one meant something to me about the scape gorilla, this one did as well, because there's lots of kids out there who can't get an education, who'd love an education just to get out of the situation that they're in. So really good bit of observation work that by Mike Bell. Well, that's it for this week. I've really enjoyed it. I've been sat out in the sun listening to the birds tweeting all around me. And it's been a really nice, relaxed evening. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Now, next week, there's a couple of people that I've already got lined up. Jennifer Sacosta and Doreen Pearson. A couple of their poems are going to be on the programme next week. And for all you scribblers out there and everybody who's listening, please keep on scribbling. Please keep on writing your poetry and posting it. We will get through everybody eventually. Sometime in this lifetime, one would hope. And please keep on listening to the programme, because this is all about poetry and it's all about you. And as I say each and every week, may your God or your gods go with you. Good night.